This morning we will be speaking from Psalm number 8 and really Hebrews chapter number 2. And in the book of Hebrews, the setting of the book of Hebrews, of course, is speaking to the Jewish people of the superiority of Christ and giving them understanding of who Christ is, and that as they were considering, because of being under persecution, turning from Christ and returning to Judaism. And in Hebrews chapter number 2, we have read this morning the passage of Scripture that the author of Hebrews quotes from Psalm number 8. And it is in the context that Jesus is better than the angels, but that he was made lower than the angels to come to this earth and die for us. And in the midst of this, he is using this psalm that speaks of man, who is temporarily lower than the angels. Man who is temporarily lower than the angels. And we began last week thinking about angels. And we're going to continue this passage of Scripture, talking a little bit about angels and talking a little bit about man. And we are eventually going to find out that man finds God's plan for him only in Jesus Christ. So we're going to look at what is man. And we're going to look at the failure of man. We're going to look at the success that man can only find in Jesus Christ. In the Bible, we have in Hebrews chapter number 2, it says in verse number 6, "But in a certain place," which is Psalm 8, the Bible says, "What is man that thou art mindful of him?" What is man that thou art mindful of him? And the text in Psalm number 8 is this, verse 3, "When I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man?" What is man? Now I think this is very important for us to answer this question: what is man? And I think it's important to answer this question because man has a tendency to be proud. And not only does man have a tendency to be proud, but teenagers have a tendency to be proud. They have a tendency to be even prouder than adults. And this passage of Scripture tells us about man's insignificance. Man's insignificance. "Well, when I consider the heavens, the sun and the moons and the stars." What is man? You know, I think that I don't get to be outside at night much, especially camping. I think it's very important for a person to go out at night and look at the stars and realize that the closest star is 4 light years away. You know how far a light year is? A light travels at the speed of 186,000 miles a second. And so at that speed, the distance that light would travel in 4 years. Now you multiply that by 360, and that's miles per hour. I didn't do that, but if you're a good mathematician, you can do that in your head. That's fast. And do that for 4 years without letting up any speed. That's where the nearest star is. And that has nothing to do with the furthest star, which they've never found. And so, what is man? What is man? Man is insignificant. Man is insignificant. We look at the stars, the moon. How could man shake his fist at God? What is man? Man is less than a speck in comparison to the heavens. Less than a speck. Man is insignificant. You know, we have a problem. We don't think the way we ought to think. I tell teenagers. I said this at the campout. I said to teenagers, I said, "Oh yeah, I tell you what, you're really on top of the world. You should be humble." I said, "You should be humble. Not only are you less than a speck of dust in this universe, but guess what? Somebody provides for your food. Somebody else provides for your housing. Somebody else pays the insurance. Somebody else puts the gas in the car. Someone else buys the car. Everything you do in your life, somebody's doing it for you. How can you be proud? You're dependent. You want to be independent, but you're dependent. Dependence should make you humble. Not proud. Man should be humble before God. And that's why it says, out of the mouths of babes and sucklings thou hast ordained praise. God doesn't use proud people. God doesn't use people who think they're great. God uses people who are insignificant and who know they are insignificant. And so, as we think of man... this psalm reminds us that man is insignificant. Look at the stars. Look at them. Look at the moon. And that moon is so close in comparison. And see how small we are. We ought to be humble before God. But yet, the Bible says this. It says, what is man that thou art mindful of him? What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou hast made him a little lower than the angels. Well, man is not only insignificant, but man is lower than the angels. Well, how is he lower than the angels? Man died. Man is mortal. Man suffers hunger. Man suffers infirmity. What about angels? Well, you know, angels can travel pretty fast. The Bible says that Lazarus died and the angels took him to Abraham's bosom. Now the Bible tells us that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Now that's a really long one. The Bible tells us that angels have rule and power in governmental agencies. The Bible talks about the prince of Media, the prince of Persia, talks about the prince of Grecia. The Bible talks about Michael the archangel. The Bible says how angels have very great roles. The Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 7, verse chapter 8, that angels in the tribulation period will bring the judgments of God on this earth. And many, many will perish as a result of those judgments. But you know, that is only temporary. Because in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 3, notice what the Bible says. It says, "Know we not that we shall judge angels?" And in the future, man has a role that is greater than angels. But now, he is lower than angels. But in our context, notice what it says. "Thou madest him a little lower than the angels." Well, let's go to the verse before that. "Or the Son of Man, that thou visitest him." Verse 8, "Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet." Although man is insignificant, he is small. Although man is temporarily lower than angels, man is special. Man is special. Let's think about the specialness of man. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. They're wasting billions of dollars to find other earths that are inhabited. Because in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The Bible tells us that God said, "Let us make man in our image." And an image of God, God made him. Man has been made in the image of God. Man is the center of the earth, is the center of the creation. You know, the earth revolves around the sun. And there's a great spiritual lesson there. But there are many other galaxies, and there's millions of other stars. But if you understand the Bible, the earth is the center of creation. God created the heavens and the earth. And on the earth, the Bible says, "And God made man in his image." And then what did God do? Man sinned. But yet, even before man sinned, what had God determined? First Peter 1:20, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world. Jesus Christ, it was chosen, it was ordained of God that Jesus Christ would leave the glories of heaven, God's abode, and come to this earth and redeem man. Now, obviously, people who do not understand the redemption that is in Christ Jesus think that there's other worlds, think there's other men, are spending billions and trillions of dollars to chase after something that's not there. There are no other lost worlds. There are no other earths. There are no other men. It is this world, earth, that is the center of this universe, spiritually, not physically. Spiritually. And the center of this earth, spiritually, are men. The souls of men. And the central point of history is that God the Son left heaven to come to this earth and die for man's sin. That fact alone teaches us there are no other planets, no other earths, no other inhabited peoples. The Son of God left heaven to die for the redemption of men. Man is special. The Bible tells us that God told man, multiply, replenish the earth, and subdue it. God gave man a very special role on this earth. He was to rule over this earth. He was to subdue it. The Bible says in our text how he made him over, put him over all the things that he made. He put man over creation. God had all the animals march past Adam, and he named them. Now, John Whitcomb in his book says he means he had about 10 seconds or less to name every animal species. Now, that tells me he was pretty brilliant to be able to analyze this animal and give it a proper name within 10 seconds. I don't think there's many people that brilliant today. In fact, I know there isn't anybody that brilliant today. Folks, people aren't smarter today than they were. People are suffering from a breakdown of the genetic gene pool. And much of wrong theological thinking today is based on the false acceptance of evolution. The ancients were more intelligent than we. The modern debate over alcohol in the Bible and that people in the Bible had to drink alcoholic beverage is based on evolutionary thinking. It's based on the idea that ancient man wasn't too smart. And people can't figure it out. And even the liberal S.R. Driver stated 100 years ago in his commentary on Joel that the ancients had at least 7 ways to preserve grape juice for up to a year. But the modern man doesn't think man used to be that intelligent. But man had a job. Man is special. God put man over all of creation. And the text that we were looking at, it says, "And thou didst set him over the works of thy hands." But you know, something happened. This special creature, made in the image and likeness of God, that was physically insignificant in comparison to the size of the universe, but was special because he was made in the image and likeness of God. And God made an earth specially for him. And man chose to have fellowship with man, but man sinned. And God's plan for man was disrupted. God's plan for man to be crowned with glory and honor was disrupted. And I thought about that. How is man doing today in ruling over the creation? Well, how's he doing? You say, you know what? Man's really smart. Just think of genetic engineering. You know what? Man has created wheat today that produces abundance. And you have wheat fields that are completely clean of weeds. But you know, there's multitudes of people that can't eat wheat anymore. And it's not that they're allergic to wheat, it's they're allergic to the new wheat. The wheat that man was so smart in creating through his genetic engineering. And all these people now are allergic to it. That's really smart. I thought about medicine. And you know, man has shown his brilliance in medicine. We thank God for modern medicine. But you know, man really isn't that smart. The average person who graduates from medical school, if they have wise counsel from their superiors, will be told in 20 years, much of what you have been told will have been found out either to be erroneous or misguided, or we will find out something better. In fact, I heard a doctor at his graduating class said, 20 years, they will tell you that you will find out that 50% of what you learned wasn't exactly right. And we can always go to George Washington, who in his day, bloodletting was figured to be a pretty smart thing, and so they let his blood and they killed him. But it was modern medicine. You know, I was thinking about man and his genius. We think of radar. And you know, you think of all these past years of these policemen who had the radar guns, and they would catch speeders, but they would have that radar gun resting on their lap until they found a car, and they would aim it at the car to get his radar, the speed, and so many thousands of those policemen have died of abdominal. You know, man is smart, but he isn't too smart. Man has a lot of ability. God gave him that ability. But what is the Bible saying? The Bible said that God made man to rule over this earth. But because of sin, man messes up most of what he does. Because of sin, what God had intended has a very negative effect upon man's ability. What he does. But what about man? The Bible says thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him. Why? Why hasn't man been crowned with that glory and that honor? Why? Because of sin. But you know, there will be a day that God will be able to fulfill his plan. And there will be a day, the Bible tells us, that men will rule and reign with Christ. But the key is, men will rule and reign because of Christ. Men will rule and reign because of Christ. Now let's put that in a couple common sense principles here. You know, man can do a lot. God made man special. Man has tremendous ability. But because of sin, the best that man can do will always be less than what God intended for him to. Because of sin, man will always do less than what God intended for him to do. You know, there are a lot of good doctors, and there's a lot of good medicine. But you know, any doctor will be a better doctor than Jesus Christ. And there are a lot of scientists, but the best scientists are those who are enabled by Jesus Christ. We see this picture. The abilities that man was given by God, God's plan for him to subdue the earth and to rule over it, and yet we see sin. We see sin. And the Bible tells us that yes, man is special. But there's a problem. And of course, Psalm 2 talks about it. The problem is that man doesn't understand and put God in his proper place. God has chosen through the mouths of babes and sucklings to bring grace. The Bible tells us that because of all this, verse 9 of Hebrews chapter 2, but now we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, and bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Of course, the question is, well, Jesus was made a little lower than the angels. He took on human flesh. But even that argument is insignificant, because man, although made temporarily lower than angels, will be greater than the angels. And Jesus became lower than angels and took on flesh that he might redeem man and bring him to glory. But just trying to stick with the principle here of what he is talking about. Man's made lower than the angels. Man physically is insignificant. But yet in God's plan, he is special. God has a special plan for him to subdue the earth. He gave man special abilities that we can't hardly comprehend. Man is special, and he sent his Son to redeem man from their sin. Man is special, and it is through Christ that man will be crowned with glory. Now, I want us just to apply this very simply. Man without Christ will miss God's plan. Mankind without Christ misses God's plan. You know, man can do great things. They can drill a hole in an oil well, but they sure have a hard time putting a cap on. They're so smart, and yet they can make a big mess. That's what life is like. Man is making all these messes. He's so smart. He has so much ability. The glory of man is found in Christ. The glory of man is found in Christ. Man today is wicked. Man today is lost. Man today is depraved. Man's glory is found in Jesus Christ. Man's faculties, although great in because of creation, are dark. Mind is darkened. His will is perverted. His affections are twisted. All that was meant to be great in man has been darkened by sin. Man needs Christ so that he might, his will, his mind, his affections, they've been darkened by sin, might in some way partially be restored to their original intention. Man's faculties, whatever he does, has been limited by sin. Christ makes those abilities better. You know, many men can run a business. They have ability. God gave them that ability. But I guarantee you, they can do it better with Christ. That ability has been given in creation, lost the greatness of it in the fall, begun to be restored in salvation. Man, outside of Christ, will not rule the worlds. man will be in hell forever and ever and ever. Man will be in darkness forever and ever and ever. But in Christ, men will rule the world. Revelation chapter 1, of course, we know, makes it clear how that we shall rule and reign with Christ. Revelation chapter 20. Revelation 1, 6, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Revelation chapter 20. And they lived, verse 8, 4, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Let me just simply put it, closing thoughts. What will you do without Christ? What will you do without Christ? Number one, you will never be what you could be. You will never be what you could be. What will you do without Christ? You will never be what God planned for you to be. What will you do without Christ? Whatever you do well, you will not do it as well as you would have done with Christ. What will you do without Christ? God does have a plan. God's plan for mankind is an illustration of his plan for an individual. Man's greatness in creation, lost by the fall, what will it be in Christ? Man's future. Without Christ, man has no future. A very simple truth. God does have a special plan for man. Man has been made in a very special way. Man is, in one sense of the word, the center of the universe. And God sent his Son, made him lower than angels, to suffer death for every one of us, so that we might be crowned with glory and honor. Very practical truth. Well, what are you going to do without Christ? Man thinks he can do okay without Christ. But man is fallen. Man is a sinner. Man has lost and measure all that God has planned for him. Wonder today, very simply, what would you be like if you let Christ be first in your life? all those abilities that you have that are found in creation and in the creation of man, how much better would it be in Christ? That's the big question. You know, man is so proud, he is content to take his natural abilities, the things that he doesn't many times even give credit to God for, and think that he has arrived. And yet, man is far less than what God intended him to be. The Jews thought, well, I can go back to Judaism. I don't need Christ. A lot of people today think, you know, I don't need Jesus Christ. I can get along without him. It is not true. It will especially be true in eternity. What will you do without Christ? What is man? Less than a speck. And yet God has made him special. And yet man has lost what was a part of that specialty of his uniqueness because of sin. And Christ has come to rescue man, to fulfill God's plan. Simply today, what place does Jesus Christ have in your life? That is the simple truth that we find today. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we thank you today that in Jesus Christ is found redemption and sanctification and wisdom. And restoration. And fellowship. Lord, we need to be reminded that without you, that we are nothing. We need to be reminded that all the abilities that you gave us were a part of your plan to be crowned with glory and honor in eternity. But Lord, none of that can take place that you really intended without Jesus Christ. And Lord, we deal with this very important issue today. Heads bowed and eyes closed, I wonder this very important question.